that comes from. You know, I haven't talked to Rafi about that. I have never talked to his agent about that. You know, obviously, people talk about his defense. Actually, I thought last year he did an outstanding job, especially to his left. He actually struggled when he was kind of like playing in the shift. You know, if you look at his errors, he didn't make plays at shortstop. That's something that we have to get better at. But I think, you know, if something like that happens with Rafi, with Casas, with Trevor, with Rafaela, the player will know first, you know, and I guarantee you we haven't had those conversations.
Hour number two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a busy Tuesday. We'll get to the Red Sox coming up. They're Rafael Devers' problem. How do they solve it? Because make no mistake, it is a problem. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. It's Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the top and bottom teams.
That's right.
In the NFL coming up about 20 minutes from now, as we do every Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at high noon here on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Is Mayo coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? What about Bill Belichick to UNC? So that's at high noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And, we should be getting our D'Angelo's lunch off here any moment, Keith.
Looking forward to that. How about some Patriots breaking news, Jones?
Oh, what do you got there?
You excited about this? According to Adam Schefter, the Patriots are waiving wide receiver K.J. Osborne. He says it was a mutual decision.
Sure.
And he now will have a chance to catch on to a team where he will be able to play more. Unlikely. Which one of his seven catches was your favorite this year?
Ooh. Well, this one was out of bounds, so does this count? I like the touchdown he had out of bounds.
The out of bounds touchdown was good. I like that when he ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
They came back in to help Drake May.
Yeah, what week was that? Was that
hard to say.
He Jets had game maybe?
Seven catches for 57 yards in one touchdown in seven games played.
I think we were all over this, Keith.
We hated it at the time. He was awful.
Okay. His first
was awful.
His first game
against
Cincinnati, which is a good game if you remember for the Patriots, for the team.
Yeah.
I came in the next day, one of my little gripes, and we were both all over this guy. I was like, I'd cut him today.
Why is he playing?
I was like, what's he doing on
the
field so much?
They phased him out from playing.
Yeah, no,
but he played too much.
I'd imagine the second half of my take there was get Jalen Polk on the field more.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did just draft him in the second round. I stand by that.
That part, you know, hasn't aged as well.
Yeah.
But I watch one game of K.J. Osborne. I'm like, why is this guy here?
Kendrick Osborne.
Get him off the team. And as we came to find out, not only does he do nothing on the field, he's also a crummy teammate.
Yeah.
Whining about targets, whining about not being on the field.
Whining
to get traded. Oh, that's a slam dunk. I want to get traded. Well, guess what? No one wants you. That's why you're waived and you're hoping to latch on somewhere else.
In the world of social media,
right,
a lot of people, if they get compliments, they'll retweet their compliments,
sure.
Right? They'll like and retweet their compliments. Like, other people are saying this about this. K.J. Osborne went beyond that. He took a personal text from somebody that said how great he was and how, you know, stick with it. Like, you're gonna get yours at some point. He screenshotted that, posted it.
Yep.
So it wasn't even like one click away. He had to take something that a friend of him said to him and was like, yeah, I'm going to put this on my Instagram story. So he was one of all of the receivers that have popped off at one point this year with zero production. Zero production. I never liked the signing. This one made no sense because you had two second-year receivers. You had two rookie receivers. If anything, you should get guys that are automatically better and like kind of slot them in accordingly. You know, I know you can't have all young guys, but you did have Kendrick Bourne, so you had a veteran guy. K.J. Osborne made no sense.
Nope.
Like, what was the upside? Like, what was the high that you were going to get out of him versus the low, which was this?
Here's the only thing I'd say. It's a whiff by Elliott Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
But when you only have $4 million to spend on a wide receiver or $4 million to spend on a... Yeah. Speaking of guys who should be, you know, attempting to save their job.
Yeah, going great.
But Chukwuma Okorafor didn't work out with by Elliott Wolf. When you only have $4 million to spend and you're reined in on that budget, I would just say that's not purely an Elliott Wolf problem.
It's
a misevaluation of talent, but Kraft wasn't willing to spend. So
well, if you have $4 million for Okorafor and $4 million for K.J. Osborne, get an $8 million tackle and call it a day. Like, I think you just need to read it and say there is no real upside with K.J. Osborne. They, for the longest time, carried more wide receivers than anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the least production of anybody in the league.
And by the way, every time they get cut, Tyquan Thornton was released.
Yeah, they cut him.
Right? That wasn't a trade.
No, he's on the practice squad with the Chiefs.
Jalen Reagor released.
Yeah.
You know, so like all these guys.
Nobody wants him. I mean, they were post-trade deadline now, but still, nobody would have taken him.
They he was on the team at the trade deadline and was in plenty of
trade
discussions.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody would have taken him. That's my point. Nobody wanted him.
And then they're going to get released. They're going to clear waivers, and they're going to latch on with practice squads. Yeah. Jalen Reagor. KJ Osborne's going to be the latest. Same thing with Tyquan Thornton. Like, it tells you how bad that... We already knew it was a bad receiver room, but it's just more evidence of how bad that receiver room is. These are practice squatters on other teams.
It's another shot, though, like you said, at Elliott Wolf. When you look at his offseason, and you're like, all right, you drafted Drake May, you traded Matt Judon, and it looks like he's washed. Everything else.
Mm.
Free agency has been a mess. Rounds 2 through 7 have been a mess. So, he's had quite a year.
It has not gone well for Elliott Wolf. Hasn't gone well for Patriots ownership and not spending a year ago. And it's arguably gone even worse for Jerod Mayo. It's one of our big discussions here today on Jones and Keefe. Is he coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? Again, Greg Bedard, let me just reset here. Greg Bedard said that if Kraft, and this is according to multiple sources, if Kraft comes to the realization he made the wrong choice with Mayo, he won't hesitate to rectify the situation. So what does that mean? We can add that to our discussion about Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. The NFL doesn't want Bill. I'm starting to wonder if UNC wants Bill. And I'm wondering if we've overrated how hot of a coaching commodity he's going to be, even at the college level. So you can jump in on all this. John is in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Hey there. So I want to bring this back to Dan Campbell, right? So Dan Campbell, he, in his first, two seasons, was just horrible. I know he kind of took it back in the second
season for sure. You're shaking your head, Keith. Was it the first two or was
it just
the first?
His second year he went 9-8.
Yeah, it's not horrible at all.
True, but what was the first?
They started like 1-7 or something like that. I'm pulling it up. Yeah, they started poorly that
year.
They
also, his first year, finished 3-3. So they were awful at the start. He was taking over a Matt Patricia team, which you can imagine how he left them. And he improved at the end, but okay, I get your point.
So the point being, though, that they had Sheila Ford in the leadership role, they had Brad Holmes, and they started spending money, drafting. And so I guess my question is, how much is Robert Kraft at fault in all this? And
a ton. Sure. A ton. He's the one who picked Mayo. He's the one who empowered Wolf. He's the one who doesn't want to spend. So, have him at the top of the list, but how do you rectify that?
He's in charge.
Yeah, it's like now we're talking about the Red Sox. John Henry's the problem. Definitely. So what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
March down to Fenway and force him to sell the team? Fly a plane over Gillette and complain about the Kraft ownership? What are you really going to do? He owns the team. So, he's a problem. He's probably the biggest problem. What are you going to do about it?
So the comparisons to Dan Campbell do get brought up a lot,
Mayo's brought them up.
Sure.
Mayo sees himself as Dan Campbell. Well, Campbell had a bad first year, you know.
And literally anybody who wants to keep Mayo included, makes that comparison. I think they're very different because the way they coach on the field is opposite.
So this is what I was going to say to the caller, Keith. At least with Dan Campbell, and we kind of mocked the biting kneecaps and going forward on fourth down, but at least he kind of knew what he was all about.
Yeah.
What's Mayo all about? Like, honestly, what's he all about?
Timid.
What does he believe
in? Timid.
What are his beliefs? What's his value system?
Yeah, no idea.
I came out of his first press conference, and that was my takeaway from that press conference. People were like, oh, look at how funny he is, joking around at the podium. And it's like, yeah, but he didn't say anything.
No.
What are his beliefs? What's his value system?
What is it you say you do here?
How does
again,
he
go back to that
all
the time. I know.
So Campbell, you at least knew. I didn't think he'd be this good of a coach. I was wrong about that.
No,
but at least you knew what he was all about.
You did, and you saw how aggressive he was even early, and he was a joke at his first press conference. Talk about Dan Campbell, and they were 0-10 or whatever it was, and you're like, oh my God, what a dumb hire. They finished 3-3 their final 6 games. So that's why I do think these final 4 games for Mayo are pretty important. If people want to keep that comparison to Dan Campbell alive, then you better finish on a high note. Year 2, now this is also important, and this is sort of out of Mayo's hands, but Ben Johnson was on the Lions staff. He was like a tight ends coach, passing game coordinator. In 2022, he became the offensive coordinator, and they went from 25th in points to 5th in points.
Mm.
So the offensive coordinator, because they still had Jared Goff both years. They still had Amon-Ra St. Brown both years, but they took a massive leap forward offensively. And then last year they took another leap forward, went to the conference championship game, and now right now they have the best offense in the NFL. So Dan Campbell can be a little bit more aggressive when you have like an amazing offense and kind of coach it that way. So that's also right now working against Mayo. We don't really know what he does. He's very passive, and I don't think he has like a best offensive coordinator in football to sort of lean on that Dan Campbell has.
No, Mayo doesn't have a lot of help, but what's he done that impresses you?
Right.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
It's been a clown show. I'm pretty convinced it won't work with him, and he can't cut it. That's what it looks like week in and week out. In front of a microphone, when he's on the sideline, the results in the game, all of it. 617-779-7937. Because we teased Rafael Devers here, let's at least pay it off quick. How big of an issue is Rafael Devers? The contract, where he fits on the team, it sounds like they're not sold on him at third base. Good. I know Cora said yesterday at the winter meetings.
Cora went like heavy, like he's a third baseman. He signed as a third baseman.
We paid him as a third baseman. He did say for now at the end of it. For now, he's the third baseman of the Boston Red Sox. But I think it's a problem. And I think the fact they're sniffing around on Arenado or they're sniffing around on Bregman, even if Bregman can play second base, they're acknowledging that Devers, A, isn't a leader, and B, isn't a third baseman. It's a problem.
Yeah, no, Devers to me is a very good player. He's not a great player, and you paid him great player money and at a time where you let great players go, or at least one specifically great player go. Devers to me is a perfect complement. Like, if you have Devers and Betts, or if you had Devers and Soto, if you had Devers and Judge, like, okay, good player. Like, I don't want to, like, bash the guy. He's 30 homers, 90, 100 RBI, depending on the season. Like, that's good. You'll take that. But he's not good at third base, despite what Cora says. He, like, all bad defenders have stretches where you're like, oh, actually he's pretty good. But then, no, he goes right back to being bad again defensively.
He's led the league in errors at third base 7 years in a row.
So, like, what are we, like, come on.
He's
like,
DH.
He could be first base. I'm like, I'm not even sure about that.
I wouldn't.
Why mess around with that?
If you trade, I would not trade Cassis to make room for Devers at first base is how I would put it. If you have Cassis and Devers, I don't think Cassis is great at first base either. But if you have him, Devers is a DH, which, by the way, can be very productive.
Yeah.
I mean, David Ortiz is a DH here forever. Not to say he's David Ortiz.
Yeah.
But, all right, focus on hitting. It's all you do anyway. You're not a leader. You can't play the field.
No.
Focus on being a DH. You're overpaying for him, but fine. But it's acknowledging that he's an imperfect player and an imperfect leader on this team.
He's not a leader, right? There were times when they'd have a losing streak, he'd disappear, like things like that. It's just not in him. I don't think you can change that from him, and that's why you need somebody else. I bet they are regretting paying him that kind of money and giving him that contract and thinking he could be the face of the franchise because he can't. It's also part their fault. Had they just signed Mookie Betts and then given Devers the same deal, he's not under as much pressure.
No,
he can just go out there and smash the ball.
Bunch of money for Bregman, or would you trade for Arenado?
I think they're both on the downside. Bregman's probably got a little bit more left in the tank, so I'd probably just Bregman.
I mean, Arenado,
I love Arenado. He's one of my favorite players ever, but I would right now I'd take Bregman.
Arenado's not going to cost you much in terms of prospects, but he's going to cost you something.
And I don't think he can hit like he can anymore. Like
Bregman.
He used to.
Bregman's the answer. Bradford told us yesterday. You can go seek that out on the Odyssey app.
But do I need Bregman playing second base?
No. I want him at third.
Yeah.
And moving Devers if you're signing Bregman. I'm not bringing in Bregman to play second and leaving Devers at third.
That's pointless. What do you do with Yoshida? Guy's got to play.
If you missed any of Bradfo yesterday, though, good intel on, Bregman, number one. He also mentioned something. It jumped out to me in real time. I kind of forgot about it by the end of the interview. He mentioned Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he bringing up Zach Gallen? What's that all about? Well, maybe it coincides with Sean McAdam. Gallen, by the way, a pitcher for the Diamondbacks, starting pitcher. McAdam says, I don't know that the Red Sox are going to be successful going after Max Fried and Corbin Burns when you see some of the other big market teams ready to go dollar for dollar there.
Oh, no, they're going to miss out on these guys, too?
So if that happens.
No way.
So if they don't.
That'd be crazy.
Notice it didn't say blow them out of the water. It said go dollar for dollar.
No, they're going to.
Holler.
The Yankees are now desperate to sign guys.
Yeah.
The Dodgers may or may not have been in on Soto, so they feel like they have more money to spend. The Mets probably even told Soto they would get him more guys to play with them. The Blue Jays had a lot of money offered. They didn't get anybody.
Nope.
The Red Sox are going to lose out to all the other top guys.
Okay. Corbin Burns, Max Fried, teams want to go dollar for dollar. They might be pivoting to Zach Gallen. How do you deal with the Rafael Devers problem?
I think I'd actually rather have Gallen.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe we can follow up
Zach
on this.
Gallen.
I think a Cheeseburger Club is going to be prominently featured in the tiers coming up here momentarily on Jones and Keefe.
The greatest. The absolute greatest. But we got some, I don't know if this is breaking news. Yeah, it's breaking news, wouldn't you say?
It's something, yeah. So
This is something.
Nick came in and gave us the news on Jordan, her social media account.
Belichick's lady, Bill, for those
Bill Belichick's
that don't know.
Girlfriend, yep, Jordan Hudson.
Correct.
Flopping around on the beach in the Halloween photo. You're familiar with her work.
Yeah, she is the mermaid to Bill's fisherman.
What's the deal, Nick, on social media with Jordan?
So she's now following. I saw this on Twitter, so sorry to whoever it was.
No, you got it.
Can't shut you out.
You found it.
But she's now following UNC football.
Come on.
UNC Chapel Hill and the UNC football nutrition Instagram account.
So it's a done deal, Keith?
Done deal.
Done deal, he's going there.
Bill to the Tar Heels.
Mm.
He's probably like, hey, Jordan, maybe follow these accounts after the fact, because now Jones and Keith know that we're going there. We want to kind of keep them a little more hush-hush.
Uh-huh.
Do you think she's – now, does she's – not to put you on the spot, Nick, can you look up how many accounts she follows? Because there are some people out there.
She follows 3,000.
Okay.
Good amount, but not 3, everybody.
3,044 compared to 28,000 followers.
Does she follow at Jones and Keefe?
She does not. I'll DM her and see what's up.
Yeah.
And now she's an academic. Do you think she's just curious about the institution of the University of North Carolina? She's very, very smart, Keith. Very well educated.
Right?
Yeah.
North Carolina, good school, apparently.
Oh, great school. Chapel Hill, yeah.
Good school. Like the Harvard of the South, they call it. But, yeah, I think it's a done deal.
Okay.
She's not. Is she following the Atlanta Falcons account? Is she following the Jacksonville Jaguars PR account?
I don't recall, but she might have last year during all of this.
I don't think they were together last year.
Huh?
Were they during this process?
Well, I think, I don't know if we knew they were together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. How old was she then? Anyway.
Old enough, Keith.
Barely.
So.
I wouldn't be so confident. But, I tell you, I was, after hearing him on McAfee yesterday, I was like, man, he wants that job. And I think North Carolina's going to give him that job. And then this is the finishing touches. They might as well just announce it right now.
All right, so, Keith, you think it's a done deal?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I'm not so sure. All right. I don't even know if UNC really wants him at the end of the day. So we'll see where that goes. I'm convinced the NFL doesn't want him. I guess we can debate UNC, and we'll do more of that coming up. Now, Nick leaned in with that update. I don't know if you noticed, he was chewing on a little something there.
What do you got going there?
D'Angelo's has dropped off our lunch, which we appreciate each and every Tuesday. You deserve a serious lunch upgrade. You can get it at D'Angelo with their grilled sandwiches. I got an Italian sub I'm going to sink into here. Billy's chewing on something back there. Nick was chewing on something. What do you got today, Keith?
I'm going with a chicken salad, which I'm excited about. I like a chicken salad sandwich.
Tuna salad?
Tuna salad.
Chips on there?
I just dumped the chips on there.
They were nice enough to drop off a bunch of chips as well today.
Yep.
So they'll take care of you at D'Angelo each and every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe, our lunch spot. It's also a tier Tuesday. What do we have for tiers this week, Keith?
We're going to go back to the NFL. We're 14 weeks into the NFL season, so a big final push here to end the year. And I say we just go with a standard top to bottom NFL tier. So we're going to go in honor of our guy down at the Wienorama. Top tier this week, Cheeseburger Club.
Great.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Right off the rip. The second one will be just a bit outside.
Okay.
The third tier will be Frisky.
Nice.
Teams that are Frisky.
Should know that one by now.
Now the fourth tier, which became pretty popular last week, not frisky enough.
I'm afraid you get a stormy cloud.
And then in honor of our guy, John Heyman, the next tier down, the fifth tier, will be I Can't Even Believe It.
I can't even believe it.
Okay, he was getting upset.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, if you're a team that's falling apart, you're like, you can't even believe it. You can't even believe how the team has gotten to this point. And then the bottom tier, in place of the mayo grown for this week, will be disaster.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
Wow.
The whole thing.
So between the Wienorama Kiefer Madness
and
John Heyman's meltdown on WFAN, we got a gold mine of drops in the last week.
Correct.
Okay, so there you go. Those are your tiers.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
On a Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. I'm assuming we're starting in the AFC East, Billy?
You got it. Buffalo Bills, 10-3.
Cheeseburger Club. Yeah, they have to be.
Too.
I know they just lost, but what a game. What a comeback. Like, they almost came, like, I don't have, like, less faith in them necessarily.
They're on notice. I know they're playing at Detroit. If you lose at Detroit, maybe we'll rethink it.
Yeah, okay.
But, and you know, McDermott didn't have a good game in the final moments of that game. They only had 9 men on the field at one point. He's trying to run it in when he only has 3 timeouts.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen's getting stuffed. The defense kind of fell apart against the Rams, who, you know, didn't beat the Patriots by a ton.
No.
So they're on notice, but I'd leave them there as well.
All right.
Miami Dolphins, 6-7.
Are they frisky now?
Yeah.
Or are they not frisky? I think 6-7, you're frisky.
I mean, look, they almost lost to the Jets. They went to overtime.
It's all right. Win's a win is a win.
But I think we can upgrade them to from not frisky enough to frisky.
I think they are frisky because they are going to be, over the next couple of weeks, when you see one of my favorite graphics every year, who's in the playoffs and then who is quote-unquote in the hunt.
And I feel like they are currently in the hunt.
Okay.
All right.
Right, New England Patriots 3-10.
So
it's been a disaster.
Definitely.
Has been a disaster.
That is where
they didn't play last week, but they it's not gone great.
The whole thing, like literally
the
everything.
The whole thing has
free agency. Everything not related to Drake May. And I know he was a draft pick, but like the draft. Free
KJ
agency,
Osborne.
Nothing at the trade deadline.
Your son.
Press conferences during the week. Players getting arrested off the field.
Not good.
The whole stinking thing.
Disaster.
Has been a disaster. So that's exactly where they belong.
New York Jets also 3-10.
Also.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. They are brothers in this.
Let me ask you. If they won that game against the Dolphins, would we have changed it, or would they still be the whole thing's been a disaster?
I think the whole thing has been a disaster, but if you beat a frisky team, then maybe they'd be one tier above for the week, but like arrow pointing back down.
Yeah. They lost. They've lost 4 in a row. They're 3-10. They're a disaster.
Yeah.
AFC North, Baltimore Ravens 8-5.
What do you've liked the Ravens a lot more than I
guess,
have.
I guess just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah, I guess.
They got to be.
They're not frisky.
No. That's too. They're more than frisky.
They're definitely a playoff team. I don't trust them at all come the playoffs.
No.
Playoffs?
No way.
I don't trust them one bit.
No.
So
trust them about as far as I can throw them.
That's probably the right spot to have them. They've had a lot of close losses, but yeah, that's where I'd put them.
5-8 Cincinnati Bengals.
All right. They did win last night on the Simpsons cast. Mm-hmm. It was hard to tell, but Ralph Wiggum scored a touchdown, so I knew that put him up.
Lisa got in there.
Lisa scored. Homer was playing both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So I think last week they were not frisky enough. Now, I don't know if a win over the Cowboys bumps you up to frisky.
No.
Because that...
They remain not frisky enough.
Yeah, because they're 5-8.
I'm afraid you get a stormy cloud.
Keith,
they lost to the Patriots.
They should have lost last night.
Patriots almost lost to the Cowboys.
They got their punt blocked. They should have lost, but the idiot Dallas Cowboy went and touched the football.
Yeah, they're not coached well.
They're not. But like,
they need Belichick.
There's this movement. I want to blame Burrow for some of these losses. Like, they would have lost last night.
Joe Cool?
Yeah. He lost to the Patriots. Oh, they lost all these games. What were they supposed to do?
Yeah.
He lost to the Patriots.
All right.
The Patriots way back when, and his defense played pretty well in that game. They only gave up 16 points. So,
do you know where they rank offensively?
A little bit about it is Joe Burrow.
Do you know where they rank offensively?
I'm guessing towards the top of the league.
Okay. Do you want to take a guess at what number?
2.
6th. They're the 6th best offense.
Great.
And the 29th worst best defense.
Okay. So you have
to put more of it on the defense.
So you have to win some shit. Okay, I put more of it on the defense. I don't put zero of it on
Burrow. Want to shoot out last night, Jones? I'm prime time. Put that one down for Joe Cool.
We're not giving his defense any credit. They held the Cowboys to 20 points. They
held Cooper Rush to 20 points.
Yeah.
That's a scoring tsunami.
Yeah.
Joey Franchise is what they call him.
You have a defense. You get in these shootouts, you got to win some of them. That's what I would say about Burrow. They're not frisky enough.
Did you see his outfit on the way into the game?
I did. I saw Giardi actually tweeted.
Did he like it?
He goes, is that a onesie? I go, yes, it's a what do you mean? Is it a onesie?
He was wearing a onesie?
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell where it started and stopped.
It's absolutely a onesie.
So you got to get naked to go bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not for me.
Put the uniform on, you got to slip the whole thing off.
Nah, guys, I'll be right back.
Both ankles.
20 minutes. I just had to take a pee. It's not worth it.
Not frisky enough.
No, that's true.
Cleveland Browns, 3-10.
The whole thing's been
I think it has, because the plan was Deshaun Watson. They played him until they couldn't, and he was hurt. They've gone to Jameis, who gave you like some fun quotes, but he loses. It's Jameis. Not like Jameis lose him.
Okay, but it's at least fun. Winston's fun.
Yeah.
I guess Mayo's fun.
But they might.
I'm sorry, Mayo.
It's
Mayo's
so
fun.
Stefanski might get fired. I feel like it's a disaster. Okay. They're 3-10.
Right,
they have the same record as the other two crap teams.
I kind of enjoy the Jameis experience, but you're right. It's been a disaster.
Yeah.
10-3 Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, the Steeler fan that listens to us is going to be mad because I still can't put them in Cheeseburger Club. I can't do it.
Zero chance.
All right, but they are just a bit outside.
Just
a bit outside.
Yeah.
10 wins. I tip my cap to you, Mike Tomlin. He finds ways to win.
He won last week without George Pickens.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, what's their best win this year? Is it Baltimore, who we also have just a bit outside?
Yeah, probably.
So I don't think that's unfair. We have Baltimore and them on the same tier.
Yeah.
They beat Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And they have another game against, maybe if you sweep, I can't bump that team up. I'm not going to believe in that team until they hoist the Lombardi.
Yeah, they're not on the Bills tier.
Not.
Okay.
They're not even on the Chiefs tier.
Which is the same tier.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right, to the AFC South, the Houston Texans at 8-5.
This is your team, Jones. I don't think they're very good.
Okay,
but where
do you put them?
Let's see. I think they're not frisky enough.
Okay.
Because I know their record is significantly
better. So they're the same as the Bengals?
Yeah.
That, how does that make sense?
Because they're in a dump division, which they'll get in that way. This is their last five games.
Uh-huh.
Five-game snapshot.
Yep.
2-3. Their wins, Jacksonville and Dallas. Their losses, Tennessee, Detroit, and the Jets.
Uh-huh.
That's gross.
It's not good.
They started 6-2.
Again, I'll remind you, the Bengals lost to the Patriots. So I'll
but they're not frisky enough.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not frisky enough.
This team's better than that.
They lost to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
This team should be frisky.
All right, so what do you think? They're frisky? Jets.
Billy, break the tie.
You're not frisky enough.
Not frisky enough.
Thank you.
I'm afraid you get a stormy clap.
Boo.
Thank you, Butters.
We have a playoff team, not frisky enough.
Okay. They're not frisky enough.
Okay.
If we wanted to just base it on records, we would base it on records. This is the Jones and Keefe tiers.
I know, but there's
if
no
it was the sub-500 Panthers back in the day, would you put them in frisky?
They were frisky that one
playoff
week.
Team.
They were frisky that week.
No, but this team isn't sub-500. It's a false equivalency.
They're not frisky enough. They're going to get their doors blown off.
They're three
off
games over 500. What are you talking about?
If they played Pittsburgh or Baltimore in the playoffs, who would you take?
I might take them against Pittsburgh. I would take Baltimore in that scenario. All they lost to Baltimore last year in the playoffs.
All right.
Indianapolis Colts, 6-7.
Oof. 6-7 is weird for them.
That's not frisky enough.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I'm afraid you get a stormy cloud.
I'm there. They're in the hunt, though.
Yeah, they played.
They're in the hunt, but like you don't even know how or why. Like they beat the Patriots. I give them credit for going for two when they did. Like that was nice, but yeah, they're not great.
3-10 Jags.
I mean, that's the whole thing's a disaster.
I'm surprised they got to three wins.
I know they won.
Yeah, yeah, but the team they beat will also, I think, be in this tier.
Yeah, let's get to them.
3-10 Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, the whole thing has been a disaster.
So right now, Pats, Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Titans, which.
It's a loaded tier.
It's a dogfight. We have a couple more that are definitely going to be in this tier.
This is what I was saying about the Jets. Like, do we need to maybe move them up a half tier? No.
I think they're going to be right there. When you're talking about the top eight picks in the NFL draft, this final month is going to be a big swing. A
lot of bad
teams. It's still very much to be determined who gets the number one pick. Now, it doesn't seem like it's a draft that you're going to lose a ton of sleep over it. Right? Like, oh, you don't get the number one pick this year? Like, all right. Keep your head up. Like, you might get a better player at eight this year than you might at one.
You really might.
Yeah.
Next. AFC West, Denver Broncos, 8-5.
They're frisky.
I was going to say.
Or they've just been outside.
I'm going to leave them at frisky, but okay. They didn't play this week.
So.
I would listen to just a bit outside, but let's leave them at frisky.
Frisky, yep.
Kansas City Chiefs, 12-1.
All the way at the top.
They win ugly.
They got to be a cheeseburger club.
Oh, they are. And
They're lucky, and they win ugly, but they are also good. I mean, they've only lost one game this year, so that's where they belong.
2-11, Las Vegas Raiders.
Ooh, they are. The whole thing's been a disaster.
Them and the Giants are like bigger disasters than these other teams.
Yeah, another tier.
they're
right there. They've all been disasters in their own way. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson has been disasters. Gerard Mayo's been a disaster.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like they're all in their own way.
Jets are a disaster, especially compared to preseason expectations. Yes. Yeah, fair. Okay, Raiders 2-11 might be the worst team in football. Yeah.
Yep.
8-5, Los Angeles Chargers.
Are they just a bit outside now? They just lost, but it's close. Super close. The Chiefs.
I mean, they could have won that game for sure.
For the division, Keith.
So that's right. Tirico almost lost his mind over that.
So how do we rectify the Broncos being frisky, but the Chargers being just a bit outside? The Broncos lost to them head-to-head? That's probably a way to do it, right?
Yeah, if that's true, that would make sense. Did they?
I thought they did.
Or they played each other
yet? I thought the Broncos lost to the Chargers.
They have one game upcoming.
They did. The Chargers beat them 23-16.
So there you go.
All right.
Okay, to the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys at 5-8.
I think they're also.
They can't even believe it.
Are they a disaster?
Can't be disaster.
Yeah,
they've gone way below their expectations, but they are a cut above these other disasters. They're not comparable to the Raiders.
Yeah, but I think both of these tiers are like, with the exception of Mayo or like Callahan because he's in his first year, are probably likely to fire their coaches if they haven't already.
Yeah. I would say I can't even believe it.
Okay.
They're not as bad as those other teams.
All right. New York Giants, 2-11.
Like this team is so much worse. This is a disaster. When you have fans flying over your stadium with signs saying,
yeah, that's an all-timer.
Sell the team, fire the coach. I forget what the specifics were. But that level of criticism.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, that means the whole thing's a disaster.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
11-2, Philadelphia Eagles.
Nasty.
Cheeseburger Club.
Cheeseburger Club and then some.
I will say, I think they got caught looking ahead. Now, they won. The Bills got caught looking ahead to their game against the Lions. The Eagles got caught looking ahead to their game against the Steelers. Ugly win, but they won.
The locker room randomly turned into a disaster after that
They've
game,
They've won
too.
Nine in a row.
Yeah, what's up with that? Okay, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown don't like each other?
Brandon Graham
was starting stuff.
Brandon Graham was on WIP. Imagine this. Players come on and actually tell you something.
Yeah.
He found
out what kind of dog Gonzo has.
He likes mild wings.
He didn't figure out a celebrity crush, though.
No, he did not.
No, he wouldn't tell us that.
Pretty close
to the vest.
Okay. So Brandon Graham goes on WIP and he's like, Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown used to be friends.
He's like, Jalen's trying to make it work or whatever, but like AJ Brown's like pissed or something. Like, yeah, the whole thing. I was like, yeah. This is great.
So he's walked that back, but no, there's clearly something going on. They've won nine in a row. How can you take them off that top tier?
You can't.
Yeah. Cheeseburger Club.
They are Cheeseburger Club.
Mm.
8-5, Washington Commanders.
Frisky? Oof. Yeah. They're close to not frisky enough for me.
Oh, wow.
I've really kind of soured on them overall. I think it was a hot start.
I think they have to be frisky because they win so many late games.
But they lost three straight games, including a game to Dallas.
They lost, and that was a late loss for them. Yeah. I mean, Daniels was unbelievable at the end of that game, but they did lose it.
All right, let's go this way.
I vote frisky.
All right, their last eight games. So they were 4-1, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just take this real quick. So then they lose to Baltimore. All right, you lose to Baltimore. They beat Carolina. Like, mm-hmm. good for you. You beat mm-hmm. Carolina. They beat Chicago on a Hail Mary.
Yep.
They beat the Giants by 5. Then they lose three straight games.
Yep.
And then they beat Tennessee. So, like, nothing has been...
But, like, destroyed Tennessee.
Yeah, they destroyed Tennessee. Yeah. So, I guess you have that. But they've been kind of teetering for me. I'll leave them in frisky.
You want not frisky enough?
I'll leave them in frisky for now. But
I was about to have Billy break the tie. Frisky.
But 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, they're a lock for the playoffs. I don't think they're a lock for the playoffs.
No, I agree with that.
Okay.
That's why they're frisky.
All right.
NFC North, Chicago Bears, 4-9.
Probably I can't even believe it.
They can't even believe it.
Yes.
Probably I can't even believe it.
But they're close to the whole thing.
Arrow down. Arrow down.
They have now lost 7 in a row, I believe.
Yeah.
Keith, you called this weeks ago. Weeks ago.
Oh, their schedule's insane.
Look at their schedule. Yeah. They might not win another game. Right. They have not won another game. They lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Let's put them in. I can't even believe it, but
they're
arrow down.
They're also the only team that hasn't won a road game this year. They're 0 for the road.
But.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions, 12-1.
Wagon.
Yeah, Cheeseburger Club.
Wagon.
They might be the Cheeseburger Club with the fries and the drink.
Yeah. They are
nasty.
Yeah, Cheeseburger Club and a number 3.
Yeah. Oh, and the number 3. Yeah, Hell yeah.
Pick it now. Bills or Lions this week? I think the Lions are a 1.5 favorite at home.
Lions.
I'm surprised at that. I would have the Lions winning that game by more than a field goal.
I will go for sure.
Okay.
Who else, Billy? 9-4, Green Bay Packers.
I think they have to be just a bit outside.
Yep.
Just a bit outside.
I mean, yeah, they might be the best of the just a bit outside, but they don't feel like they deserve to be on that top
group. No, I mean, they almost beat Detroit at Detroit. So they deserve, I know they lost, but they deserve some credit for that, just a bit outside.
Yeah.
11-2, Minnesota Vikings.
Same.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
I love Kevin O'Connell. I think Kevin O'Connell should be coach of the year.
They've won 6 in a row. They're 11-2. Do we need to bump them up to Cheeseburger Club?
Ooh. Sam Darnold just threw 5 touchdowns.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because they still have... Do they have 2 against Detroit?
They might.
I believe they still have 2 games remaining against Detroit.
How does that happen?
I thought.
No.
They already played them?
They lost by 2 points to Detroit week 7. They have Chicago, Seattle, Green Bay, and Detroit.
And they play Detroit the final week of the year. So let's...
They're probably going to win 13 games.
Yeah. It's still... Like, I advocated for the Vikings paying Sam Darnold the other day, but it's still Sam Darnold. Like, I still don't believe in him. I would pay him because I don't want to start over with a rookie I didn't even like in J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. But, yeah, I still don't believe in him.
All right.
Okay. To the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons at 6-7.
This is your squad.
Yeah, they are.
They can't even believe it.
Okay, so yeah, are they mad or are they not frisky enough? I can't believe it.
They need to go to Penix.
They've lost 4
in
a row.
They need to bench Cousins. I can't even believe it.
Yeah,
I can't
let's do it.
Can't even believe it.
Carolina Panthers at 3-10.
Are they also can't believe
it? They can't even believe it.
They are
for the opposite reason. They can't believe they're at their closing games.
Now they
they're a favorite now.
Yeah, they've lost 3 in a row, but they are favored against the Cowboys. They, even though they keep losing, maybe this is unfair.
Yeah,
they feel like they're arrow up compared to some of the other disaster teams. So yeah, can't even believe it.
All right.
Good for them.
5-8, New Orleans Saints.
They can't even believe it.
Yeah, you gotta probably put them there.
That's all.
Or not frisky enough.
Well,
with Rizzy,
I know they just won. It was so gross how they won.
No, and there was the Giants. Let's
Drew Lock started that game like 0-8. Yeah, still barely beat it out.
And Carr's hurt.
Let's go. I can't even believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And like Kamara that. Screwed me on a parlay. So
yeah, I'm saying that's why I didn't like his performance
get
on Sunday
out
either,
of here.
Keith.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers 7-6.
I think they're frisky.
Okay.
Or do you think they're not frisky enough? I think they're going to win the division.
I think they might be just a bit outside.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
I don't want to overlook the whole middle of the season, but I'm kind of willing to do that with
hell
them.
Hell yeah.
They've won three in a row.
Baker Mayfield stud.
They had a terrible stretch when they had no one at receiver.
Yeah.
Since they've gotten one of them back, they lost Godwin for the year. They got Evans back. They look like the same team they were early.
I think Bucky Irving got hurt.
Yeah, Bucky Irving did get hurt. I'd put him just a bit outside.
Right,
you want frisky?
Well, no, I thought I was going to have to talk you into frisky. No, I'll take just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit
I'd like
outside.
Them all year.
I would not want to play them in the playoffs.
All right, good.
Yeah.
NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, 6-7.
They're not frisky enough.
Thank you.
They were the face of frisky for a while.
I'm afraid you get a stormy cloud.
They better beat the Patriots on Sunday or their season's over.
They've lost three in a row. Yeah. Not frisky enough.
Yeah.
7-6 LA Rams.
That's a frisky bunch. Or do you like them more than that?
No, they can't be just a bit
not
outside.
Yet.
So I'll go frisky. But
I beat the Bills.
That is another team I would not. They might not even make the playoffs, but I would not want to face that team either.
Okay.
6-7 49ers.
I
can't even believe it.
So I was going to say not frisky enough. I can't even believe
it.
That's a better place. That's a better place.
They're a mess.
Yeah.
Debo's on Twitter complaining.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
boy.
So many angry wide receivers.
Oh, every year.
Not that you could never see that coming.
Uh-huh.
So many angry wide receivers.
And finally, the Seattle Seahawks at 8-5.
Probably frisky.
That's what I
8-5. Like, they started out hot, had a little dip. Now they're like they've leveled off. They're good.
Should we put them just a bit outside? I don't.
You like
so.
Them that much?
No, I don't. But I can hear people asking that. Like,
no,
why would we put Tampa there?
No, I think the biggest argument, looking at the tiers now. So real quick, Cheeseburger Club is Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Lions.
Yep.
Just a bit.
Cheeseburger Club.
By the way, that's been the top tier for I feel like a month now.
So if that's not the conference championship games, which one of those four teams didn't make it?
Because
right now it looks like it'll be Bills, Chiefs in the AFC and Eagles, Lions in the NFC. So which team do you have the least confidence getting there?
Bills?
Maybe Bills?
I think the Bills.
Okay.
I don't really see Minnesota picking off either of those. Yeah, I would say the Bills.
I would say Philly, only because
Hurts and A.J. Brown stuff?
Well, there's that. Sirianni, I still don't really know. But I also think Minnesota, Green Bay, Tampa are tougher.
Yeah, that's true.
So just a bit outside, we have Ravens, Steelers, Chargers, Packers, Vikings, Bucks. I would argue the most controversial pick would be maybe not having the 11-2 Vikings up one notch higher.
And we have Tampa pretty high, but I like them.
Yep.
And I'm willing to excuse their bad month.
Frisky is the Dolphins, Broncos, Commanders, Rams, Seahawks.
Uh-huh. We have the Texans below them.
Yep. Not frisky enough.
Yeah.
Bengals, Texans, Colts, Cardinals.
Yeah.
I
object to that.
I like it a lot. I can't even believe it. Cowboys, Bears, Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Niners. And once again, the biggest tier, the bottom tier, the whole thing has been a disaster. Patriots, Jets, Browns, Jaguars, Titans, Raiders, Giants.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
Yeah.
That's your top seven picks in the draft, probably. Throw the Panthers in there, too, for eight.
With that many bad teams, John Heyman, stand by. What do you think of the NFL season this year?
The whole thing has been a disaster.
I mean, kind of. When there's that many bad teams, kind of.
We're just obsessed with it, but it is not great football.
Detroit's fun.
Yeah.
Bills were fun till last week. Even that was a fun game. The Chiefs win ugly every single. It's kind of a disaster.
Is it because we see the disaster every week?
Well,
like we're living watching
it.
The Bills every week. We'd be like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, football's awesome.
Yeah, if you're a Lions fan, this year does not feel like a disaster.
Really that great when the Patriots are dominating?
It's a good point. We have Tommy Curran for a Tommy Tuesday at high noon here on a Tier Tuesday. We'll get the tiers out shortly at Keefe21, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. And when we come back, let's give some quick thoughts on the Boston Celtics. We wanted to get to this yesterday. I got lost in the shuffle. Have the Celtics been solved? Has their offense been solved and a weakness exposed? That's next.
As far as the strategy on Drew, it's a bold strategy. I mean, he's an all-star. He shoots over 40% from three. I think that's a risky one. And I thought he handled it great. I mean, we empowered him. We want him to shoot any shot that he's open, and I think that's a huge gift because now we're going to see it again, and it's going to be great for us. So I'm really happy that they did that for us, and I thought the teammates did a great job empowering Drew to shoot. Didn't make them all, but, you know, you move on. But I'm glad that we saw that, and it's going to be good for us.
That was Joe Mazzulla following the Celtics' loss to the Grizzlies over the weekend, where they let Drew Holiday shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot.
And it worked
more.
For him. And I love Mazzulla being like, I'm really glad they did that.
That's
I'm
great.
Really glad they
it's
did
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
We're going to learn from that. We're going
to
be better.
I think he's a little worried, if we're being honest. But we'll get to that in a moment. Our tiers are up at Keefe21, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can check those out if you missed them. While we were doing the tiers, we had a couple of updates.
Updates to the updates.
Number one, Tommy Curran is going to be 12:30 as opposed to high noon.
All right.
So stay tuned for that.
Noon 30.
And that'll give us time to dive into the latest tweet from Ollie Conley, who we referenced earlier in the show. Ollie Conley. Let me get a bio on this guy.
Newsletter at Read Optional.
Newsletterer at Read Optional.
Writer at Guardian US.
Uh-huh. Previously NFL college football scout and recruiting analyst. Okay.
Okay.
Plugged in the college football world. We referenced his tweet earlier today because somebody asked, where'd that report even come from that Steve Belichick is the coach in waiting? This guy.
This guy right here.
Okay.
He's your guy.
He quote tweeted that tweet from the other week and said, update, Belichick has agreed to become the next UNC head coach.
Hello.
Belichick has agreed. Belichick has agreed to want to be the next head coach on his head.
He would take it.
Belichick handed the school a 400-page organizational Bible.
It's too much. He's read all that?
With structure. Maybe this is the hangup.
Yeah.
With structure, payment plans, staffing choices, etc., decisions on whether to commit with UNC. He's expected to know their decision within 24 hours. So Bill wants it. It's up to UNC about whether or not they want him.
Which is exactly what I said earlier. Yeah, but read the next thing.
Belichick's Bible would require historic levels of investment from the school. It includes salary minimums, position by position, and a willingness to hire two staffs, a coaching staff run by Bill, a recruitment staff run by a sitting college GM who would require a buyout.
Yeah.
Okay? What?
No, I just think it's not as simple as do they want Bill to be their coach? It's
do they want all the crap that comes along with Bill and all these demands and 400-page manifestos?
He's going to hold them hostage because he's going to say, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. So I'm not negotiating with you. I want the job.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I want. I want all my buddies to coach. I want them all to get paid X. I want to get paid X. I want to be able to pay the players X.
Like, who's going to be the sitting GM? Like, who's that going to be?
Patricia?
Another Bill Crony. Exactly. Exactly.
Because don't you think, if you play it out, Steve Belichick
Lombardi.
Honestly. But, like, Steve Belichick would be the D coordinator.
Uh-huh.
Matt Patricia, you can't have him run the offense. But you have him run, like, the GM thing.
Yeah, maybe.
You have him do that.
He was signing.
And get paid a ton of money
He was signing contracts here in New England. His name was on contracts here in New England.
And then McDaniels, if he wants to, and Joe Judge, and all these guys. Maybe the coach waiting part. Yeah.
You imagine Patricia lumbering his way into a house recruiting and, like, eating all the potato chips? Like, that's like that.
Wearing his Super Bowl rings.
That's going to go
showing the Malcolm Butler play.
Yeah.
Remember this one here?
That was me, guys.
I dialed that up.
Yeah, that was a good play by me.
Maybe Ernie Adams?
Don't worry about my time in Detroit and what they've done since I left. Yeah, maybe Ernie Adams. Good call.
So I think it's that. I think it's all these things that North Carolina is like, oh, my God.
I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Every kid's house. He's in Texas talking about that. They're like, okay.
Now people want to sign with UNC. Yep. Two more tweets from Ollie Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick has a college and pro version of his updated manual. So this is like a manual he's handing out to like the Falcons.
He's
I would
been
assume,
busy. Give him credit.
Other jobs.
Usually, you know, sometimes people get fired. They feel bad for themselves and they just sit
once he's done, he's written a 400-page crazy person manifesto over the last year. That's what he's done.
Pretty great.
A college and pro version of his updated manual and has shared it with other schools and NFL teams, but he drafted a new one specific to UNC and touched on every aspect of the program and school. He'll need the sign-off from the AD, the chancellor, the trusters, and, trustees, and boosters. There has already been pushback from the group of 13 trustees. What's the pushback?
Well, didn't you say
financial?
That, yeah. I think North Carolina, they're a basketball school, first of all, and I don't think they view their football team the way Texas or Michigan or Penn State or whatever, Clemson, I don't think they view it the same way. And my guess is Bill wants to compete with those teams, and Bill says, we're going to pay what those teams are paying.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Yeah. We don't do that.
Well, and it's a good point. Maybe, and I should know this, who is the basketball coach there now? Is it Hubert Davis?
It
hasn't been Roy Williams for a while. So, like, Davis is like, wait, you're committing what to what? Maybe there is. That's a good point. Maybe there are, like, weird politics going on with hoops and football.
That'd be my guess.
Or maybe it's, I don't know, he's dating a 24-year-old. Maybe that. Maybe,
you think they care about that?
Maybe I don't know. How does that play in the South, Keith? I don't know.
They might love it.
And on top of that, you also have.
Yeah, it's still Hubert Davis.
Thank you. And on top of that, you also have, again, the Steve Wilkes thing where all the ex-players want Steve Wilkes there.
So maybe that's supposedly what we're talking about, some of the pushback
so the
there.
13, like,
there's a big panel, apparently. It's not just the AD that makes a decision like
the
this.
The group of 13 trustees, and again, that's just one part of it, as you said, AD, chancellor, trustees, boosters, with input from wider faculty. The investment would overhaul the school's approach to football.
Yeah, you get the physics professor in on this.
Belichick is unsure if the school will meet the demands. That seems important.
Does the astronomy teacher want him?
Hang on. Belichick is unsure if the school will meet the demands. That seems important.
Yep.
And is unwilling to negotiate. Classic Bill.
But that also is why I think we're in this little bit of a stalemate, because they have a major decision. It's not just, hey, we get like a big signing, or and like, oh, it's Bill Belichick with North Carolina. It's, we got to pay him twice as much as we paid Mac Brown. We got to pay the assistants all more than what we were paying the assistants. We might have to give Steve the job afterwards, and we have to take whatever our budget was for like NIL and probably double or triple that.
So is Bill really serious about the job? He claims he wants it, or is this just all a ploy where, you know, he's in some ways doing the same thing the Red Sox are doing? The Red Sox underpay. He's demanding way too much, knowing he won't get the gig and they won't agree to it. And that gets his name out there. Maybe that's going on. It seems like he wants a job. He's agreeing
seems
to take
like he
it.
Wants this job, yeah.
And we heard his pitch the other day on McAfee. So you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. I'll have to wait, I guess, to get to the Celtics. Yeah, they keep getting punted with all the news going on. I like the strategy from the Grizzlies. I'd keep doing it. And, yeah, I think a potential weakness, Holiday, was exposed. And he might be showing his age a little bit. That's a long story short. We can dive into that later on in the program. Tommy Curran is going to be at 12:30. Let's keep going with Bill to UNC. Is it real? Does he want it? Why isn't the NFL calling? What's the holdup with the University of North Carolina? We may have our answer on that last one based on these updates. We'll get to all of it next.